land needs healing. Amen? Amen. We need to bless God. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for you. This is the story of the cross. It's a simple song, but it has a lot of theology in it. Would you sing it from the heart, please? Say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
You know, Jesus is alive. He's in heaven right now. He's present with us also. But there's an old hymn. We're not doing it today, but there's an old hymn that says, for me, I can't remember the name of it. He says he stands before his Father's throne and shows his marks and names me as his own. Isn't that great? Worthy is the Lamb.
Amazing.
Amen. He is worthy. You may be seated. I want to thank Kimmy and Kristen for singing today, for our duo on the board, and Angela and Emily, for Sharon playing. Music is important. It really is. Some of you like to sing. Some of you don't like to sing. I understand that. However, the rule stands. If you have a bad voice, you sing loud. And if you have a good voice, you sing louder. Amen? How many here are tone deaf? A couple are honest, okay? We need your voices, all right? So don't be afraid to sing. For our call to worship today, I chose a familiar passage. And I would like, if you can, read this with me. This is something that we need to remind ourselves periodically, because we think sometimes, because of our ego, our pride, that we have to do something to earn God's love. And that's not true. God's love is there. He appropriates it through faith as we repent and believe in him. Okay? It doesn't depend on works. And this is one of the clearest verses in the Bible to remind us of that. So would you read it with me? This is the Apostle Paul. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." Isn't that great? "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What an incredible verse. Let me translate this literally from the original language of this last verse. It says, "For we are God's artwork." That's what the original language says. We're his artwork. Every one of you here listening, you're God's artwork. You know, God doesn't create junk. You're you, and you're special. God created you. And I hope we never forget that. And where it says we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, those good works are not to earn our salvation, but it's in a response to God's incredible love for us, that he went to the cross in my place, all the way to Calvary. He went for me to pay the debt for my sin. And out of gratitude and love, now we do what he wants us to do. It's a great picture, and I hope that encourages your heart for today. We have a lot to pray for as we continue. And in our prayer today, Florida is getting hit by this storm. It's still a tropical storm as far as I know. I don't know if it was upgraded to a hurricane yet. But 2020 has been a crazy year, you know, for a lot of reasons. It's been a crazy year. And you compound, you know, a storm on top of it. And the usual response is to evacuate. But with the COVID situation, where do you evacuate to? It's really a problem, right? So we need to pray for the folks that are going to be impacted by the storm. We need to pray for our cities. The anarchy that's going on is not good. We need to pray that people come to their senses and they would not ask for the defunding of police departments. That's utter craziness. We need to continue to pray for our health workers, for people who work in stores, for delivery people, for all the people who are still doing and ministering to other people. We need to pray for them, because for whatever reason, and I don't understand it all, for whatever reason, this virus isn't going away anytime soon. All right. The only thing that we can do is be smart about it, as smart as we can. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we see what's happening in our world, we want to think first of the people down in Florida and Georgia and Carolinas who are going to be impacted by this storm. We pray that, Father, by your great hand, you would weaken it. You would send it out to sea. We pray that there would be no evacuations necessary and no more complications that could transmit the coronavirus. So, Father, we pray even looking forward to Tuesday and Wednesday as this impacts us and New England. We just pray that this storm would lose all its power. And Father, we pray that you keep people safe. Father, I feel strongly that we need to pray for our cities this morning. Anarchy is reigning. There's no reason for it. Father, as a result of people shining lasers at the police, several police officers have been blinded permanently. Father, this is just utter chaos. You tell us in Romans, you ordain the authorities to keep peace. Father, correct people's thinking. Defunding the police departments aren't the answer. The only answer is the change of people's hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that somehow, some way, you would bring people into the lives of these people in the cities, that they would come to know and embrace Jesus Christ, because that's the only way hearts get changed. And Father, for our health workers, for those on the front lines, for delivery people, for people working in retail and in stores, in our food stores, Father, we just ask your hedge of protection around them. Keep them healthy and safe. Guard their families. And Father, we're careful to pray this in the name of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, we're in Acts 2:42 and following, and I'm going to pick up on where we left off last week. If you remember last week, I talked about what a classic church looks like, and some of the marks of a classic church, and we looked at one of them last week. When I say classic church, I'm talking about a church that's right on the mark for where Jesus wants us to be, okay? What we ought to look like. And so we looked at the necessity of Scripture last week. Scripture has to be our primary authority. Scripture has to govern what we do, our beliefs, and what we do. And so this week we go into two more aspects of what a classic church looks like. And the first, the aspect I want to cover today with you is fellowship. All right, fellowship. In fact, in the verse, let me read it for you. It says, they devoted themselves. And again, that word devoted means wholeheartedly, with a passion. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, when we use the term fellowship today, even in the church, we've kind of watered it down from how the early church understood the word. Fellowship is not getting together to look at a ball game, although you can have fellowship that way. It's not bad. It's not just gathering for a cookout or for a potluck dinner. Boy, I wonder if we'd be able to do that again, huh? And those are important. I'm not trying to diminish them. But the way fellowship was understood in the early church was to come together for a couple of purposes. Edify one another, okay? And talk about the Lord, what the Lord's doing in your life. Every one of you here, God's doing something in your life. And you may not be aware of it because we get too busy and we don't see it sometimes, we don't realize it, but how refreshing would it be when we sit down together and just share what God has done in our lives? We've lived through a difficult time, and it's still continuing. Just by God's grace and a miracle, you and I are here, right? He still has a purpose for you. He still has a purpose for his church. And we need to encourage one another. You hear commercials on television now about you don't have to be alone. We're alone together. That's what they're saying. And they're encouraging you to reach out by phone or text or computer. And that's good. However, we are built by God to be relational. Every one of us. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God as a hermit. Okay? And some of this is personality. I know that you may say, well, I'm not really that outgoing. No, but you're no different than anybody else. We all need encouragement at times, don't we? We all need to be edified at times. And we all need to talk about what the Lord's doing. You know what happens when we don't talk about the Lord's doing in our life, what he's doing? It all becomes about me. Right? Me, my problems, my issues. And we kind of shut God out, even though he's still working. We don't realize that he's still working. Let me give you an example. All right? How many times have we encountered a problem and the last thing we do is go to prayer? How many times have you and I encountered a problem and we automatically get on the phone with somebody before we talk to God, before we read his word, before we come together and just say, hey, I'm going through a tough time. And we can encourage one another, not with platitudes. Yeah, you know what I mean by a platitude? A platitude is a saying, okay? For instance, I've used this illustration before. If somebody loses a loved one, it's the wrong time to say, well, God works all things for the good of those who love him. It's true, but it's the wrong timing. It's the wrong time. The best thing we can do sometimes is sit with somebody and listen. Isn't that great? Just listen. You know, you don't have to solve the problem. You don't have to fix it. Sometimes people just need a listening ear. And we have to pray to the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom when to shut up and when to say something, right? Because if I do it, I mess it up. I will always mess it up. So fellowship in the early church was meant as something totally different. Listen, in the early church didn't meet in their own buildings. They met in houses. They met in small groups, okay? Anytime you have a collection of Christ followers together, that's a church. That's a church. The church had small beginnings, but God meant it to have an influence in the world. People learn from their pastors, their elders, and one another, and they grew together, and in the process, they would often eat a common meal. I like eating. Some of you do too, right? Talk about waistlines. We like eating. And it used to be, and we need to recover this, and I hope some of the COVID shutdown helped us to do this. It used to be that families ate dinner together. And those were special times. And especially on holidays when the family got together. I remember sitting Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, some of the holidays. And at the time, you know, my grandfather was alive. We had older relatives around the table. And you hear stories, right? You'd hear different stories. We don't do that anymore. I had the privilege of officiating at a wedding for Melissa's cousin. This going back a couple of years. And I went up. This was in Pennsylvania. I went up for the rehearsal. Mary Lou and I, and Joey and Melissa, of course, and we had lunch together. And Melissa said to her cousin and friends, "You have to be prepared for Lou and Mary Lou, because they tell stories. They tell stories." And you know, I think they thought we were nuts. You know, I really do. But we had a great time. We didn't stop laughing. You know, we told stories. How many here have had embarrassing stories? Yeah, join the human race. You hear the join the human race, okay? But we have other good stories too, and God's faithfulness. How God, there's some here that God took cancer away from you. There are some here that saved you from a heart attack, right? We don't even know what God spared us from entirely until we get to heaven. But we can encourage each other with what God's doing. I want to clear up another misunderstanding about the early church. The early church had it tough. Most people work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. Did you catch that? 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. Most people just earn enough for food for that day. That was the economy. Anything extra, guess who took it? The Roman tax collectors. All right? So they were trying to eke out a living 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, but they made time for church. They made time to gather, to worship, to give. These people had nothing, and they gave. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. You know what the difference was? The difference was they knew their priorities. All right? You've heard me say before, I don't want you to do this. I would say, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your priorities. Show me your calendar, I'll show you your priorities. They had their priorities right because they yielded to the Spirit of God. They yielded to the Word of God. They yielded to the apostles' teachings. And I would suggest that we tend to make time for what's important to us. We all have busy schedules, but how are our priorities? God wants us to grow together in fellowship, in grace, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and fall deeper in love with Him. How do we do that? We can do it through corporate worship service. Blessed are those who dwell in His house. We can do it through corporate prayer meetings. We can do it in times of fellowship. I look forward to the time where we can actually go out to a restaurant and have good fellowship. I hope it's sooner than later. Actively following the call Jesus has given you. Every one of you has a call in your life. Every one of you. And we need to actively follow that, and we can encourage one another to do that. We can identify the gifts that God has given you and the calling through the Holy Spirit. And then our job is to help equip you for that and release you into ministry. It's a great thing. That's how the church grows. That's how we grow. We're also called to enter into discipleship. Now listen to me carefully. Just coming on Sunday mornings many times is not enough. You and I need to be involved in personal Bible study, personal devotions. You know, sometimes, you know, when the men are good. You know, the men in the men's group are good. They don't mind having their brain hurt, you know, studying. And I'm sure a lot of the women don't either. But you know what happens to a muscle when you don't use it? It atrophies. It atrophies, right? It gets smaller, becomes weaker. If we don't enter into the discipleship, spiritually speaking, we start to atrophy. That's how important this is. Now, how can you grow? Come to worship service. Come to prayer meetings. Get involved in small groups if you want. I know Kimmy wants to start a small group, and I commend her for that. Just do it. Don't make them gossip sessions. Concentrate on the business at hand. Don't make them gossip sessions. Don't make them counseling sessions. It's not the place for it. Concentrate at the business at hand. We were created for worship and fellowship. I found this disturbing fact in my illustrations. During World War II, the enemy conducted experiments to find the most effective punishment for gaining information from the prisoners. You want to guess what that was? Isolation. Absolutely, isolation. They found that solitary confinement was the most effective. After a few days, most prisoners would tell all. This is why we need fellowship. Without it, we become easy prey for temptation and for abandonment of our values. You know, there's an old saying that idle hands are the devil's work. Right? Yeah. When we become idle and we become lazy, we can become complacent in our spiritual development. We're opening up for temptation. and for the devil to come in and start spreading lies. So, fellowship is important. I can't emphasize this enough. It's important. I am blessed when I am with you. I am blessed when I am with the men. I am blessed when I'm with other pastors praying. I'm really looking forward to teaching in September at the Bible Institute, because we're going to learn from one another. That's incredible stuff. And so, fellowship, important. But with fellowship, they broke bread together. They ate. Right now, we can't do that. But they ate. But we have to include in that the celebration of the Lord's table, because that term is used interchangeably for it, the celebration of the Lord's table. When you have dinner with somebody, and we've had dinner with a number of you, or lunch, you learn, right? You learn about the person, they learn about you. You learn that they're human, they learn that you're human, you're not perfect, right? And we begin to share the blessings of God and all. But when we come around the Lord's table, it's a special time for those who have put their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a time where we recognize we're not perfect. We sin. Even as believers, we sin. But God has made a provision through Christ, and that provision is called repentance and confession. What a gift. What a gift. Repentance means turning away from sin. And we have to name it very specifically, okay? And turning to God and say, no, I've grieved you. I've hurt others. I've hurt myself. Would you forgive me? And the promise is found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's table, he did it very specifically, because you and I need to be reminded of that. In this day and age, who wears flip-flops? Okay? Who goes barefoot? Oh. I never go barefoot. I don't know how you guys do it. But even just walking around the house, you see how dirty your feet get? In the normal course of a day, do you know how many times I sin? How about you? And if you don't, see me after the service, and I'll bring you through the Ten Commandments. We'll see how far we get. All right? We all sin. And I want to suggest to you every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day, you and I need a foot washing, a cleansing with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why this is so important. This is why I believe that when you saw churches shut down, you saw people hurting very badly. You saw people who saying, what did I take for granted? You know, we came Sundays, hopefully most Sundays. We had fellowship together. It's good to see everybody and all. And then when that's taken away, should that be the only time we value it? Instead, I would like us to understand that any time we're able to gather together, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. So, we come to the Lord's table. And as we come to the Lord's table, let me remind you that this is a reminder to us of God's holiness. His holiness. God is holy. God takes sin seriously. We need to take sin seriously. And we need to come honestly before God and let the Spirit of God examine us, let the Word of God examine us. And if there's any known sin in our life, we need to confess it very specifically. Repent of it, turn away from it, and ask God to forgive us, which he will, because it's been paid for 2,000 years ago on a cross. This is a time of remembrance and a time of communion. You know, some of you have very close friends, correct? And sometimes when things go wrong, you can tell a close friend, I'm really having a problem here. And you trust that it's not going to go any further, correct? All right? That's Jesus. We can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I have a problem here. I need your help. I can't conquer this without you. I need your help, Father. And he stands ready to help us, to forgive us. Somebody once asked me if we have a sin that occurs over and over again. Theologians used to call that the besetting sin. Okay? If we have a sin, how many times should I confess it? Well, the answer to that really Jesus gives in the Gospels, as many times as you do it. But when you confess it, realize it's serious and ask for God's help to change your heart and change your mind from the inside out. Remember what Jesus said? 70 times 7. 400, I mean, this is just an example. 490 times. If you confess the same sin 490 times, what do you think might happen? Do you think you might get it, right? Hopefully. But this is a time where we can come with Jesus and have communion and tell him in confidence, because you're not going to see it up on screen next week. It's taken care of, right? Thank God, right? I mean, every one of us in this room, he can post our sins on the screen. Whoa. But you know what the scripture says? As far as the east is from the west, your sins shall be remembered no more. What a great promise. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. So, with that, Jesus gave Paul instructions. In 1 Corinthians, it says, I give to you what the Lord has passed on to me. This is Paul's writing. And he says, let a person come to the table and examine themselves. That is, just take some time and say, Spirit, reveal in me very specifically what sin needs to be confessed. Prepare yourself for the table. And when we do that right now, let's just take a moment and reflect and be honest. Come clean before Jesus, because it'll stay between you and him. As we uncover the bread, please be careful. If it works, that would be great. If it doesn't work, there's two tabs. First tab is kind of thin. I did it. Jesus took unleavened bread at that Last Supper. And he used it as an illustration. He passed it around. He broke it, which is a symbol of his broken body. For those of you who have ever seen kosher matzah, there's specific requirements for kosher matzah. It has to be striated. You know, it has to have the lines. It has to be burned. It has to have holes in it. It's very specific, by the way. And those are illustrations and remembrances that Christ was striated. He was whipped to the bone. He was stabbed on the cross. He was insulted. He was crucified naked. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was that he took your sin, my sin, your shame and my shame on him. There is not one sin that Jesus didn't take on that day. The sin of lying, cheating, immorality, adultery, stealing. I mean, you name it, Jesus took on that sin and paid for it in full. Another way of saying that is he endured the full wrath of God in our place. And that was the agony of the cross. That for the first time in all eternity, that fellowship was broken between the Father and the Son because of my sin, because of your sin. Jesus said, when you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of him. Would you do that, please? Okay, be careful with the cup. Okay. The cup is a symbol of the wine that Jesus uses as an illustration for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Jesus shed his lifeblood for you and me. He died on the cross. There are some theologians that would say, oh, he never died. He just fainted. No, he died. He died. And a soldier who put the sword in his side made sure of that. He died. And so he made a new covenant with us. And that new covenant is that God's grace is offered to everybody freely. That you and I, all we need to do is believe in our mind, in our heart, with our whole being, that he went to the cross in my place as my substitute to pay my penalty for the sin. Jesus' blood covers your sin, covers my sin, never to be brought up again. Amen? Amen. When you drink this, do this in remembrance of him. How did they work? Anybody? They worked all right? Okay. So let me encourage you. I don't want to go too much longer. If you have a quick word of testimony to give praise to God, I'll just open it up. It had very quick sentence or two. Anybody? Yeah, Carl. We're going to pray for good results. Amen. Remember Carl in prayer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Yeah, Nancy. We're here. And we have the freedom to do so. Amen. Amen. I'm hoping that they'll allow us at least 50% capacity soon. So be praying for that. I can tell you this, if they issue another shutdown order, we're gonna have a conflict because I'm not shutting down. We are called to meet. We'll leave it up to the people whether they want to come or not. But you're all wearing masks, you're all far apart, and we have a station set up there with hand sanitizer. Feel free to make use of it. Put both hands under it, otherwise you're going to get showered. And just be smart. If you're not feeling well, stay home, okay? We take your temperature at the door. We're doing everything that the state requires of us, and not only that, we're doing above. We're following our insurance requirements, okay? So we're doing above. We're still going to minister. We're going to start collecting coats for December to give away. So if you're able to do that, I still have to find out if Lacey's going to do Lacey Day or anything like that. But we're still going to minister. Okay, we're still going to minister to homeless. We're still going to minister to people in the community. We just got to get a little bit more creative on how to do that. All right. So God is good, and all the time. I'm going to ask the ladies to come up to lead us in our final song. It's all by grace. Grace alone. Would you stand, please? Spirit, would you send us forth by your grace? Empower us to do the work you have called us to do. Help us to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in word and deed. And Father, give us the love and the holy boldness to share with others who need to know Jesus. Father, I ask your blessing on all who are here and in the parking lot. We ask your blessing on those who were not able to make it today. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you and thank you.